Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
You've come back from the holidays and you are starting to worry about your mom or your dad or maybe your brother or your sister, uncle or aunt that you saw over the holiday, and you say, well, I'm not sure they're doing as well as they say they are. What do you do and how do you know for sure? Well, my guest today is Cheryl Wilson, and she's been a senior advocate for the past 27 years, and she just wrote a couple of books that might help you in discerning where to go from here, or if you really even need to do anything. She's my guest today on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you.
Where do we start, Cheryl? Let's build the scenario. Some of our listeners might have come back from seeing those relatives, and they're thinking, wow, should I get involved? Should I not get involved? How do you make that judgment call, and what do you look for?
Well, you know, for a lot of people, the only time they see their loved ones, whether they live in another state or another area, or they're just busy, is over a holiday. But they talk to mom. They may talk to mom once a week, maybe every day, and mom's just telling them how wonderful everything is and how well they're doing. And now the holidays approach, and you go and you visit, and you say, wow. And you start to notice things like, you know, they've lost a lot of weight, or their personal hygiene is not what it was. I've been there a week and they are wearing the same clothes every day. Their home is very cluttered and not straight. And they used to be very adamant about the housekeeping. Or you'll see, you know, as you're talking to mom and dad, mom is repeating everything she says over and over and over. So you start to wonder, what's going on here? This is not the picture I get when I talk to him on the phone. You come back home and you think, you know, do I need to bring in extra help for them? What do I need to do? Now, the one thing I think we all have to acknowledge is, you know, sometimes seniors like all of us may make poor decisions. And we all do that. Have you ever gone to the doctor and gotten an antibiotic and they say, now take all this till it's gone? How many of us, as soon as we start feeling better, stop taking the medicine because we're better? We don't finish it. Well, that's poor judgment because we were told to take it till it was finished. So just because someone is making poor decisions does not mean that their children can come in and take over their life and place them in a facility or bring in home care or anything like that. But there is a point. You know, if they are losing weight, if they are having cognitive issues and they're more confused, if you're noticing that, you know, they don't seem to be safe at home anymore, that you're going to have to
be safe at home. Like what?
Like they're falling, or like they're going to the store and they're getting lost and they don't know how to get back.
Oh, you mean in driving or in
driving
going to the
or
store?
Just in the home? You know, you notice that they're tripping or they're falling, or you're hearing from their friends that they've had several falls, just safety issues.
What if you see that they might be a little bit more anxious, or does that just come with the territory of aging?
Well, some of that can, but they may be anxious because you're there and they're afraid that you're going to notice things and want to put things in place. And people will ask me, you know, why aren't they just honest with me? Why don't they tell me that, you know, they're losing weight, or, you know, that they've had a lot of falls, or...
But are they really dishonest or forget about it or don't think it's that bad? What are the real reasons for that?
A lot of times the reasons are as simple as, if you really knew how much help they were needing, that you would want them to move in with you. You would want to maybe place them in an assisted living, or maybe you'd want to bring strangers in their house, like a home health agency, to help them. And they don't want that. They want to live independently alone in their own home.
And I think everybody wants to live independently in their own home. So how do you make that judgment call? And what are some real cues? We talked about some of those cues, but what are some things that really would clinch the deal, that would make you know that it's time for you to step in?
Well, I think that the biggest issue is the safety issue. if they are not safe. Let's say while you're there, mom is fixing dinner and you realize she doesn't turn off the stove. You know, you go back an hour later and the stove or the oven are still on. That could be a huge safety issue. What if you notice, you know, you were there and they fell a couple of times? Now they were able to get up this time, but that's just a matter of the fall. It doesn't mean the next time they'll be able to get up. You know, weight loss is a huge thing. If they're losing a lot of weight, then that's a huge red flag. So these things are all red flags. And sometimes, you know, these aren't a result of poor decisions. They may be a result that they're declining in their health, or maybe their health is pretty good, but cognitively, you're noticing some symptoms that they may be having some dementia, which is causing them to not be able to live independently anymore. So you have to, at that point, have a really hard conversation with your loved ones. And there's different ways you can do that. You can just say, you know, mom, I've noticed when I was visiting you that you seem to be struggling with these issues, and I'd like to bring in some people to help you. Would that be okay with you? And just pray that her answer is, oh, I would love that. But oftentimes that's not the case. What you're going to hear is, oh, no, we're doing fine. So then you're going to have to get more creative in how you present things. You know, you may have the talk to the doctor or write the doctor a letter if you don't live close to him and explain your concerns. And maybe he can say to them, you know, well, I think that you would do well having home health come in a couple of days a week and just help you around the house, help you with laundry, maybe cook some meals for you, different things like that. But even some people will still say, no, nobody's coming into my house.
So, is it easier, Cheryl, if it's both of your parents living in the same house or if it's one person living in the house? Which is it easier to deal with, to see where they're really at and to go from there and see what the options are?
Well, if you have a couple living together, it may be easier if one of the spouses is not struggling and is helping the other one out, okay? But it depends on how much help they're providing, because I've been doing this for 27 years, and I have seen where one spouse is caring for the other, that the spouse that is doing the caregiving oftentimes will pass away before the one receiving the care, because they're so busy providing care that they're not taking care of themselves. They're not going to the doctor. They're not getting any time away. They're not eating properly or doing things. So they wind up having a very quick decline. And oftentimes you see the caregiver passing before the one who needed the care.
A complete guide to placing a loved one in a long-term care facility is the book we're talking about today. Cheryl Wilson has been an advocate for seniors 27 years. She knows the territory. She knows about nursing homes in the area. She knows about different options that you could use if your parents are falling into some categories that she's talking about right here. So, Cheryl, before we take a break, because I'm going to have you come back and we're going to talk about a few of these topics more in depth, but now we're looking at mom and dad and you're thinking about, or even a brother or a cousin who could use some other options. Besides talking to them, what is your next step?
Well, the one thing I do want to say is, you know, when they're resistant to the next step, one thing that sometimes helps is to make it about you and not them. So instead of saying you need to go to a facility, assisted living or whatever, say, you know, I know you do not feel like you need additional help, but I need you to maybe go to an assisted living because I worry so much about you myself, and I don't feel that you're safe, and it would make me feel better if you were somewhere where I knew you were getting good care and you were safe. Make it about you, because oftentimes parents will do something for their child that they will not do for themselves.
Now, that is an interesting approach. So I need you to do this because of the challenges I might face if you don't. Right.
Is
that what you're saying?
I can't get to you. I live a half hour away. If you had a problem, I could get to you quickly. Or I work full time. And if you had a problem, I worry that there would be nobody to help you. So I need you to do this for my peace of mind and for your safety.
Okay. So that's the next step. Go at an approach like that. And then where do you go from there?
Well, from there, it just depends on how they react to that. If they say, well, I can do that for you, which happens more often than you think, because parents are often willing to do things for their children that they would not do for themselves. So
just like you are for your grandchildren, then your children sometime, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely. So once they agree to possibly bringing in home health or maybe even going to an adult day program during the day, that's like the best kept secret out there, an adult day program. And they do have those that specialize in dementia care, where if somebody has cognitive issues, they have trained staff to work with people who have cognitive issues. A lot of them are from like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the family can go to work, they can do whatever, and then there's just the evening hours. And they're much more affordable than your assisted living or skilled facility.
Like what kind of pricing are we talking about on these daycare programs?
Well, some of the daycare programs, you know, they're typically Monday through Friday, and you can choose to go a half day or a full day. You can also go 2 days a week, or you can go 5 days a week. So there's a lot of options. There are groups that help with payment. VA helps with payment. Sometimes Aging Ahead will help. Medicaid can help. So there's different ways to help with the payment. But typically, and I'm just guessing because I don't know the current ones, but between 90 and maybe 125 a day.
A day. Hey, Cheryl, we're going to take a break. But first of all, how do you get a complete guide to placing a loved one in a long-term care facility?
Probably the easiest way to get it is just get it off Amazon.
Okay, Amazon, and that's the book, and Cheryl Wilson is the author. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We'll be right back.
Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The Smart Wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Cheryl Wilson is my guest. She's been an advocate for seniors for over 27 years. And she knows tons of stuff about retirement homes, about daycare. She wrote the book, A Complete Guide to Placing a Loved One in a Long-Term Care Facility. Now, we talked a little bit about daycare and some of the programs that they might be able to find and things to look for. What about home health care?
So, home health, adult day, any of these programs, you know, like anything else, there's going to be ones that are great, one that are average, one that aren't as good. So as a caregiver, you're going to need to research the group that you're working with. So when you're looking at a home health company, you need to know what's your loved one's condition. You know, if this is someone who's had a stroke or maybe they have heart conditions, that's one group of home health people. But what about needing a home health provider for someone who has dementia? Maybe they're very healthy. A lot of times when someone has dementia, they don't have physical limitations. They're all cognitive. But those cognitive limitations are causing them to have more safety issues. They may be at risk for walking out of the house on their own. They may be at risk of not being able to prepare meals because they don't have to. So you need a home health agency with people who are trained in dementia care that can not only provide the care they need in a way that they can accept it. You do not approach somebody with dementia the same way you approach somebody who does not have it.
How do you do the research for which kinds provide what type of services?
Well, I think the best way you can do it, because a lot of them don't necessarily tell you that on the website or something. So what you can do is just, you want to interview the home health company. You want to call them and you need to ask questions. You need to be upfront with them about what the issues are with your loved one and say, are these things that you can accommodate? Now, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things with home health that I have seen is sometimes home health agencies will say, well, you know, people will get calls at the last minute saying, oh, sorry, we don't have anyone to come today. And you may have to call in sick for work. So one of the questions you want to ask is, how do you provide support? So if something happens to my primary caregiver, are there other people that can step in? The better home health companies, when they set somebody up with a client, will have like three people. So they have two other people they know. So if the primary person is sick, then they're sending someone else that person already knows. So it's not as disconcerting for them when somebody else comes in.
Now, how do you get those funded? If you don't have a lot of money and your parents don't have a lot of money, how do you go about acquiring those services if you don't have the funding?
Well, if somebody qualifies for Medicaid, they can possibly get home and community Medicaid, which is a Medicaid service where they will pay up to 40 hours a week coming into the person's home and providing care. Now, you're not guaranteed 40 hours. They will come do an assessment and say, we believe this person could use 30 hours of care in home, and that's enough care for them to remain safe in their home. So that would be covered by Medicaid. The really interesting thing when you're looking at Medicaid is if the person is cognitively okay, like we are, Judy, and we needed home care and we were on Medicaid, we could do consumer-directed care through Medicaid, which means I could have my sister paid to provide the care for me. So it's not somebody I don't know. It's someone mm-hmm. I choose, and Medicaid would pay that person to come in and provide the care. That's called consumer-directed care. And so that is an option people have. A lot of home health companies do consumer-directed care. So they would bring on the person and do the training of your choice, and then they would provide the care for you. The caveat to that is if the person has dementia or has an intellectual disability and cannot manage their own care, then they do not qualify for consumer-directed care, and they would have to have a professional home health person providing the care.
Wow. Red lights for the caregiver. How do you know you have the right caregiver? We talked about the types of caregiver you might need for dementia or whatever, but how do you know that caregiver really fits, and how then, if you're working with a company and that caregiver doesn't fit, where do you go from there?
Well, you know, the way you know it fits is, you know, when you leave, you go to work, you come back, and mom is doing really well. If mom is not typically anxious and you get home and she's very, very anxious, that's a red flag of what went on. You know, what's going on with that caregiver? If you suspect that there's issues, you know, you need to call the home health company, have the supervisor come out and meet with you. You can always switch caregivers if needed. Typically, when you bring in home health, you're going to interview with the caregivers prior to them starting. So you can ask them questions and you can see how they interact. One thing that really is something that I look for is when a caregiver is coming in, what is that? A lot of times they'll do a care plan so that they direct the plan of care for that person. So they may spend so many hours cooking, doing laundry, different things. What I look for is, what are they doing to engage the person, especially if they have dementia and can't engage themselves? Are they doing things with them? Are they taking them for walks? Are they talking to them? Are they going through photo albums? Whatever that person enjoys doing, are they doing that? Or are they sitting on their phone? Or are they watching TV and the other person's just doing whatever they want? So you want an agency that trains their staff to engage with the person and keep them mentally active in doing things.
Then how do you know when you have to stop just having a home caregiver and go into long-term care with your loved one?
Well, the biggest indicator would be that, you know, when that home health person is gone, you're back to the same issues you were before. You have safety issues. You may have wandering issues. When the sun goes down, they get more confused, you know, just different things like that. And then you may look, because home health is very expensive, bringing someone into the home, especially after COVID. You can be looking at $30 to $35 an hour for a home health aide. At some point, that is not financially doable for most people. So at that point, you're going to be looking into possibly going into a skilled nursing home.
A complete guide to placing a loved one in a long-term care facility is one of Cheryl Wilson's book. She's been a senior advocate for over 27 years. Her first book, I Am the Resident, and that is Being an Advocate for Your Loved One's Needs. Cheryl, how do people get a copy of either of these books?
Well, I Am the Resident, Becoming an Advocate for Your Loved One's Need, published in 21, and I wrote that during COVID. And what that book does is it takes, if you have a loved one in an assisted living or skilled facility, this book is going to teach you what your loved one's rights are. Because many times when people go into, especially a skilled nursing home, they tell you their policies. They do not tell you what your rights are. And you have a lot of rights that you may not know about. So this book teaches you what your rights are in terms that you can understand. And it also, I include 64 examples where I use federal law to get people what they wanted when the facility said that they didn't have to do it. And what you have to remember is a facility policy cannot violate your right.
Wow. A facility policy cannot violate your rights. To learn more, Cheryl, if they are interested in some of the training courses that you do, how can they reach you, or how can they reach you with some other questions that they might have?
If you have questions for me, you can go to my website, advocacyforseniors.com, and I have an Ask Cheryl button at the top of that website. If you click that button, it'll go to an email, and you can email your question, and then I can get back with you.
That's a great
idea. That website also has a place for speaking engagements and one-on-one consultations and things like that.
Advocacyforseniors.com. advocacyforseniors.com. Cheryl Wilson, and God has used you in so many ways to help others, but Cheryl, your life wasn't always like this, was it?
No. When I was 18, I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, and I started a very long journey, wound up on 28 pills a day, shots of Haldol every week, over 40 shock treatments in 2 years. And I had a very difficult journey until I was 34. And at 34, a group of 7 young men from my church did a week of prayer and fasting for me. And at the end of that week, they came and laid hands on me. And when they did that, when they laid hands on me and started to pray, I could feel heat shooting through my body as each one prayed. And when they got done, the voices were gone for the first time in my life. And I went back to my psychiatrist. I got off all the medicine. I got off disability. I got a full-time job. I went and got a master's degree. And I've been an advocate for 27 years, and I've never had any other psych drugs. I've never had a hospital admission for psych reasons since I was 34 and went through my healing.
And she's the author of A Complete Guide to Placing a Loved One in a Long-Term Care Facility, and I Am the Resident. Both of those books. And Cheryl, again, I know that you're doing some 7-week training courses. And how can people find out about all these things that you're involved in?
The best way to find out what I'm doing is through the website. I have a 7-week course that I do periodically called Caring for a Loved One as They Age. And the goal of this course is to help people become proactive and not reactive. So as things happen and we start to see issues with care, we don't panic.
We don't panic. That's so important. And to pray and ask God, what are my steps and how can I go through these? Cheryl, do you have anything in closing that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think the motto that I live by in my business, Advocacy for Seniors lives by, is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
And wow. Repeat that again.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you have the love of Christ in you, guiding you, you have the caring for people, and you're able to give them the hope that they're searching for.
We hope that the show has given you some enlightenment about where to go from here if you're facing some of those questions we talked about in the show today with Cheryl Wilson. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. I'd love to hear from you if you enjoy Encounter and some of these topics we cover, or have some topics to suggest. Email me at jredlich@botradionetwork.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will see you next week on another edition of Encounter. Cheryl, thanks so much for coming today and sharing with us about those insights.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn.